Denmark is a peninsula with islands scattered along its east coast. Danes, therefore, long ago became experts at operating ferries and building bridges. So it was no surprise in the late 1980s when the government announced the Great Belt Project. It comprised two bridges, one of which would be the world's longest suspension bridge to connect two of the bigger islands, including the one with Copenhagen on it. There would also be an underwater tunnel for trains, the second longest in Europe, which would be built by a Danish-led contractor. That was interesting because Danes had little experience boring tunnels. I watched the announcement on the news with my father, who worked in bridge and tunnel construction. "Bad idea," he grumbled. "If I were digging a hole that big, I would hire someone who had done it before." Things went wrong from the start. First, there was a year-long delay in delivering four giant tunnel boring machines. Then, as soon as the machines were in the ground, they proved to be flawed and needed redesign, delaying work another 5 months. Finally, the big machines started slowly chewing their way under the ocean floor. Up above, the bridge builders brought in a massive ocean-going dredger to prepare their work site. To do its work, the dredger stabilized itself by lowering giant support legs into the seafloor. When the work was done, the legs were lifted, leaving deep holes. By accident, one of the holes happened to be on the projected path of the tunnel. Neither the bridge builders nor the tunnelers saw the danger. One day, after a few weeks of boring, one of the four machines was stopped for maintenance. It was about 250 meters, 820 feet, out to sea and an assumed 10 meters, 33 feet, under the sea floor. Water was seeping into the maintenance area in front of the machine, and a contractor unfamiliar with tunneling hooked up a pump to get the water out. The cables of the pump were trailed through a manhole into the boring machine. Suddenly, water started pouring in at a speed indicating a breach of the tunnel. Evacuation was immediate, with no time to remove the pump and cables and close the manhole. The machine and the whole tunnel flooded. So did a parallel tunnel and the boring machine within it. Luckily, no one was injured or killed, but the salt water in the tunnel was like acid to its metal and electronics. Engineers in the project told me at the time that it would be cheaper to abandon the tunnel and start again, rather than pull out the borers, drain the tunnel, and repair it. But politicians overrode them because an abandoned tunnel would be too embarrassing. Inevitably, the whole project came in very late and way over budget. This story isn't all that unusual. There are lots more like it in the annals of big projects. But it was that project that nudged me to start a big project of my own, a database of big projects. It continues to grow. In fact, it is now the world's largest of its kind. And it has a great deal to teach us about what works, what doesn't, and how to do better. Honest numbers. After the accident, the recovery, and the eventual completion of the Great Belt bridges and tunnel, everyone agreed that the project had gone badly over budget. But by how much? Management said 29% for the whole project. I dug into the data, did my own analysis, and discovered that their number was, shall we say, optimistic. The actual overrun was 55%. And 120% for the tunnel alone, in real terms measured from the final investment decision. Still, management kept repeating their number in public, and I kept correcting them, until they did a public opinion poll that showed that the public sided with me. Then they gave up. Later, an official national audit confirmed my numbers, and the case was closed.